we have an opportunity to start the sixth parak, and as mentioned, so what I'll try to do is I'll try to give an insight into each one of the amudim as we go through the sixth parak of the Masechta. As Dr. Goldenberg points out, this is really a parak dedicated to halacha, and I don't feel bad today, but in other words, today I'm going to talk more in terms of Iyun and Svara, and in fact, that's the topic. The topic today is going to be Svara, but as we go through the halacha, so I will try, definitely try to focus a little bit more on the halacha as it is a halachic parak in general. But today I'm definitely going to be working more on a standpoint of lumdus. Okay, the sixth parak in terms of bracha, just macro for just a moment. In terms of bracha, there really is the turn of the Masechta, meaning the Masechta is 9 parakim long, but the first 5 parakim deal with Kriyat Shema and Shmon Esrei. And that's really it. Meaning those are the topics for the first 5 parakim. And so what we have covered since then has been nothing other than those two topics. Obviously, there are ancillary issues that come up over the course of the Masechta, but those are the topics. Now with the sixth parak, so we're going to be talking about bracha. Sixth parak is bracha Rishona. Seventh parak is bracha achrona, notably Birkas HaMazon. And then eighth and ninth parakim, eighth parak, still continuation more about benching, but some ancillary brachas as well. And ninth parak deals with other brachas, assorted other brachas, if we can just have a global look at the Masechta. So now with the sixth parak, so we're talking about bracha Rishona. And as you just heard from Dr. Goldenberg, so basically a declaration of which brachas are to be said over what food. Each food has its separate category in terms of what brachas to be said. A couple of machlokim in the Mishnah. However, Dr. Goldenberg really did the hard work this evening, because what he covered is the Gemara's attempt to learn out how do I know the halachas of bracha Rishona, from where does it come from? Bracha achrona, specifically Birchas HaMazon, so that's the pasuk in Torah. Achazav sevata v'erachta. And as we're going to be discussing extensively in the seventh parak, so that deals with the halachas of benching. So the halacha of benching, and to bench after you eat bread, so that is a mitzvah min haTorah. What is the source of making a bracha before you eat? So the Gemara spent an entire amud from top to bottom, trying. It was really difficult. It's really.
Next week will be much easier.
It was really complicated. But the Gemara spent an entire amud dedicated to the topic of. Where do we know that? Where's the source of Bracha Rishona? And then, as you got to the end, then you got to the punchline. So the Gemara said as follows: Ella. Sorry, I know it's somewhere over here. Here it is. It's the last line of not the last line of the Amud, but the last line of the Sugya. Ella Svaruhu. So the Gemara finally acknowledges that really it's a Svara. Also, la'adam sheyahanim in ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It is forbidden for somebody to get any kind of pleasure in this world without making a bracha. So the Gemara basically says, look, we don't have a drasha. We tried to learn it from Hilulim. We tried to learn it from Bikurim. Ultimately, when all said and done, there is no source in the Torah that says so. It's simply based on logic. It's a Svara. Now, if you take a look at the Bam Tosus over here on the Amud, Ella Svaruhu, Asul Adam Shiana. So Tosus makes a very short statement. Vikra, the Nos of La'el. Now, I know, says Tosus, that we try to get took him up above, that taught us sources. But Asmachta Ba'amu, but they're just simply Ban Asmachta. And the basic idea behind Asmachta is that they are just simply ways for the Chachamim to take their mitzvahs to Rabbanan and hook them onto Pesukim in the Torah. So the Pesukim in the Torah is not really the source. It's just simply a way, it's an illusion. It's a way of helping us connect to the Torah. The Gemara Hayasavar Mitzchila de Limud Gamor. Originally, the Gemara thought it was a Limud Gamor, was a bona fide Pesuk, or at least Drasha in the Torah. And we've come to the realization that it's not. Now, here's where we begin. Now, so from the Gemara, so from Tosos, so when the Gemara, so Tosos certainly gives us the impression that it's not a limud. Now, if it's not a limud, so you would say that making a bracha Rishona, therefore, is a, what kind of mitzvah? So it's a mitzvah derabbanan. That's what I would have said, that's what you would have said, and in fact, that's what almost everybody says. However, there is a really interesting comment by the Pnei Yehoshua right here. The Pnei Yehoshua, I have two sources that I brought in for today, for this evening. So the first source is the Pnei Yehoshua, and he writes as follows. And I say it's a famous Pnei Yehoshua. You know why it's famous? Because I know it. So, but short of that, that's really the criteria. But short of that, however, the Pnei Yehoshua makes a really interesting comment. And he writes, and I'm going to read inside. The Gemara, Elas Svara Asa Lola Adam, Mashma V'loshim Kol HaPosim, Gofum HaFmaskana Dahako Kol Brachas HaNeanim Hein Medirabana. So from the Gemara's conclusion, as we just went through, so it sounds like the correct conclusion is that the source of making a bracha Rishona and anything that we're going to be eating is a din d'rabbanan. Le'barbi berchas ha'mazon l'chud. with the notable exception of benching. Benching after you eat bread, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's the pasuk of the Torah. Or the Rashba b'chazayin min and da'achar of nami b'daraisa. Now, according to the Shita of the Rashba, that's also not only true for benching, but it's also true for the bracha me'in shalosh. Ava b'shar brachas moda. But by all the other brachas, however, it is simply a din d'rabbanan. Ulaniyaz da'iti l'chari yesh l'tmoa. Now, the Pnei Yeshua writes that if you ask me, I would suggest the following. Da'abachol ha'shas mashma demidi da'asi mesfar ha'vim b'daraisa. Now, you take a tour of Shas, which we're not going to do in the next couple of minutes, but if you were to take a tour of Shas, you will notice that many times the Gemara uses a svara to extract a halacha min haTorah. In fact, you'll find the Gemara numerous places throughout Shas say, look, I don't even need a pasuk, meaning it's just simple logic. And the Pnei Yeshua says, I know what you're going to do at this point in time. You're going to cite the Tosfos that I just read together. And you're going to tell me that Tosfos is telling me that it's a din d'rabbanan and not a din d'oraisa. The Pnei Yeshua says, I'm not convinced. The after the mashakas of the krad the nasiv la'el, hainu asmachta ba'ama, when Tosfos says that it's just an asmachta, efshad in his kavnu lezeh, it could very well mean that this is exactly what Tosfos means. Ha'inyan atma dekevin the svarahu, meaning once the Gemara tells us that the svar sulo itzerach krad, it's not that we failed in bringing a pasuk, it's that we don't need a pasuk. Meaning the Gemara's conclusion is the svara, it's a logical argument. It's so logical. It's so deductive that at this point in time, it's not that we fail to get a pasuk. We just simply don't need it because the svara brings us to the same conclusion that a pasuk would have. And what the Pnei Yeshua is arguing is that this is a din d'oraisa. The idea of making a bracha rishon is a din d'oraisa. The Gemara's conclusion of svara is just telling us that the svara is min haTorah. Now, this is already in of itself a really interesting comment by the Pnei Yeshua, that bracha rishon is a din d'oraisa, not just a din d'rabbanan, but it brings us to an obvious question. We're going to see this concept present itself numerous times, and that is that generally speaking, when we have a suffix by a bracha, the suffix bracha sahakel. So if I have a doubt as to whether or not I made a bracha, so we're going to be makel. Now, if you went with conventional thinking that the making of a bracha is a din d'rabbanan, so I understand that if it's a suffix, so we're going to go lekula, we're going to be lenient. However, if you're going to invoke this really novel idea that a bracha rishona is really a din d'oraisa, and the svara imparted by the Gemara is really telling us a din d'oraisa, so then why would we be mako by a suffix bracha? Now, my question, Pnei Yeshua, was already bothered by that. So the Pnei Yeshua now is going to argue that we're going to take both sides. We're going to side that the svara of the Gemara is really a svara d'oraisa, but we're also going to be makel by suffix. Why? They came into also levarach bracha shenatzricha, mishum hachi mimela azaleh hach svara. So the Pnei Yeshua writes that since it is forbidden to make a bracha that is going to be pointless and not going to have any benefit to it, so at this point in time we have now lost our svara. Another Aaron halacha which we dispense with the bracha rishona. A balkari, I'm not going to go through the halacha right now, but there are times where the balkari is not going to be making a bracha rishona. If it's the oraisa, so why aren't you going to do so? So again, because once you lose the svara, so therefore there's no longer a imperative to make a bracha. Okay. So, correct. So the Pnei Yeshua is trying to make the argument that if there is a competing svara, so then competing svaras kind of cancel each other out. And so when you have the competing svara of bracha levatala or a balkari should, you know, just have a covered Hashem shouldn't be saying it. So the competing svara will knock out this svara. But standing by itself, though, the svara works min haTorah. Right, potentially. That's a machlokes. It's a machlokes of Rishonim. Right. Okay. Very good. But that of itself is a machlokes of Rishonim. Okay. Good. At this point in time now, So let's take stock of what the Pnei Yehoshua is saying and how difficult it is really to absorb and to accept what he's saying, but we're going to try to. The Pnei Yehoshua is saying is that when the Gemara presents to us a Svara, that's really operating on a Daraisa level. And even though the simple reading of the Gemara's conclusion is that the Baracha Rishona is really a Din Darabanan, but what the Pnei Yehoshua is trying to argue is that that isn't so, because Svara operates on a Daraisa level. Now, in a moment, we're going to prove that that's right, meaning Svara does operate on a Daraisa level. But for the Pnei Yehoshua to put that in our Gemara is really difficult. One, as the Pnei Yehoshua himself already addressed, Safik Brachas Ahakel. How can something be a Din Daraisa, and meanwhile, by Safik, we're going to be Nekel? But again, he tried to address that, and we're trying to absorb it. But at the same time, however, the Gemara's conclusion seems to be pretty clear, and Tosfos himself writes pretty clearly that it's just a smachta ba'alma, meaning that this is not really a source, we're just simply pinning it onto a pasuk. But again, the Pnei Yehoshua also dealt with that as well. Pnei Yehoshua says is that when the Gemara says, when Tosfos says a smachta ba'alma, it just simply means I don't need a pasuk because as far as there, it's operating on the Daraisa level. But again, when all said and done, all this is really difficult because the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that Bracha Rishona is a Din Darabanan, not a Din Daraisa. And even the Pnei Yehoshua acknowledges that this is not conventional thinking in the Gemara's conclusion. What do we do with the basic idea behind the Pnei Yehoshua that Svara operates on a Daraisa level?
Okay, I'm so happy. I'm so happy you asked me. Okay, good. That's the direction we're heading. Okay. So what do we do with the basic idea, the kernel of the Pnei Yehoshua's idea that Svara can operate on a Daraisa level? So what we're going to do is the following. So the next source I'm going to be quoting, and the second and the last source I'm going to be quoting is the Beis Ephraim. The Beis Ephraim. So his brother, I guess, is a little more popular. Brother writes a Shari Tshuva that you're going to be finding when you open up a Mishnah Berura. So one of the Mefarshim that you're going to find on the bottom is a Shari Tshuva. So this is the brother of the Beis Ephraim. The Beis Ephraim, right, I gave you a little bit of biography. So it's very good. So at one point in time, he looked like he was going into Rabbanus. But after a short stint in Rabbanus, he said to himself, this isn't for me. So instead, he decided to become wealthy, not serve as the rabbi, leave the rabbinate, and he was able to successfully learn much better. Okay. Lesson learned. Okay, so anyway, so the Beis Ephraim on this Pnei Yehoshua notes that this is not the conventional thinking, but we're really going to be focusing on where do we go with Svara. Is Svara able to allow us to conclude that something is a Din Daraisa, or, as per the simpler reading to read our Gemara, it's only a Din Darabanan. So he writes as follows. First of all, this idea of the Pnei Yehoshua's reading of Tosfos, that when Tosfos says that Svara is there to replace the Psukim and to replace the Drasha, that's really difficult. Because, and I don't have this kind of Bekiyas, but the Beis Ephraim does. He says, if you look Tosfos around Shas, you're going to find Tosfos throughout Shas, says that Brachos is a Din Darabanan. Of course, excluding Berachos Hamazon, you can also say Bracha Meina Shalosh. But in other words, Brachos is a Din Darabanan. He quotes the Tosfos in Yuma, he quotes one in Sukkah, he quotes one in Chulin. So it is clear from Tosfos and throughout Shas that Bracha Shlofanav is a Din Darabanan, not a Din Daraisa, which makes our Tosfos over here and the Pnei Yehoshua's reading of our Tosfos over here going to be very difficult. Okay, but more to the point, however. Achnikom, Makom, you can look now, as I underlined the parts that I just wanted to highlight, because I just really want to focus on this idea of Svara sometimes tells us Dine Daraisa, and sometimes Svara do not tell us Dine Daraisa, and how to differentiate. And if you look now, and you turn the page, and you see now on the second side, Ach Mikom Makom, I'm on the first column, second side. Ach Mikom Makom Adim Bazeh Ima Pnei Yehoshua De'al Rov Lashon Zeh Svara Hu Milsa Daraisa. You're going to find throughout Shas that when the Gemara says that it's a Svara, what the Gemara means is that it's a Svara and it allows us to conclude a Din Daraisa. So he says, I'll give you an example. Actually, the truth of the matter is he gives numerous examples, but again, I really just want to focus on the basic differentiation, so I'm not going to go through all of his examples. So he says, for example, Bereish HaZorei. So in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara over there introduces us to the malacha of Hotzah, of carrying from one domain to another domain. It's not really the first time the Gemara introduces us to the idea of Hotzah. In fact, the Masechta opens up with the halachas of Hotzah. So in my unscientific study of Shabbos, So there is no malacha that's discussed more extensively in Shabbos than the malacha of Hotzah. Right, Benny, I think you'll agree. Yeah. So anyway, so it is really the most talked about malacha throughout all of Shabbos. And in terms of the Iker malacha of Hotza'ah, so the Gemara over there wants to know, how do we know about the malacha of Hotza'ah, taking something out of a Rosh HaSayachid, and the malacha of Hachnasa, will bring something into a Rosh HaSayachid. And the Gemara there writes, and he quotes the Gemara, Kedamina Bereisha Zarek Ashkechan Hotza'ah. So we know about the malacha of Hotza'ah, Hachnasa Minalan. How do I know about the malacha of Hachnasa? Svarahu, Michdi, Mirishus L'Rishusi, Mali La'afuke, Mali Iyule. And the Gemara over there says, well, it's logical. Meaning, if the Torah is going to find somebody in violation of Shabbos by taking something from a private domain to a public domain, so it stands to reason that you're also going to be violating Shabbos if I could take something from a public domain into a private domain. So the Gemara over there just introduced us to a malacha using the vehicle of Svara. So it's super clear from the Gemara, as the Pnei Yeshua is arguing, that when you have a Svara, Svara is going to introduce us to malacha d'oraisa. We're talking about Chil Shabbos. Presumably, I can't see it any other way. If one were to do hachnasa, he'd be in violation of Shabbos to the full extent of the law, with an Issa Kares, and if with Edom and Hasra, a Skila. Meaning, and that's all coming to us via Svara. And that's why the Pnei Yeshua pointed out that when our Gemara says that Svara is Daraisa, he's right. Svara is Daraisa. We see it over here. And he gives other examples as well. Now, right. Right. So, again, speaks to the Pnei Yeshua's idea. Svara does operate on a Daraisa level. Logic allows us to take certain jumps. Okay, good. Now, I'll call upon him. Now, I skip to the next underline. Dabar Baruhu, but the base of Prime writes as follows: the man darmin svaru da raisa b'chol hashas malei sumi svar tatanai ba'amarayin. Now, when you learn Gemara, you will notice that there's a lot of svar going on throughout the Gemara. V'samchem al zeb da raisa ben lahakel ben lahachne, and you will see that conclusions will be derived with svara throughout all the Gemara and dine Torah, and sometimes in the direction of kula, sometimes in the direction of chumra. When you see the Gemara saying, well, you know, we have certain presumptions that we make, right? A woman wouldn't be so brazen to make the accusation to her husband that he gave her a get when in fact he didn't. And the general presumption that, you know, the borrower doesn't pay his loan in the time, within the time that it's, before the time that it's due. Shemi Tzadosvara. Now, we call the Chazaka and the Gemara, but the truth of the matter is that they're just simply logical arguments that the Gemara is presenting. And meanwhile, those, now again, the Gemara used the word Chazaka, but in the context of our discussion, based on those logical arguments, so we're going to say that a woman's no longer married. We're going to say that money that is in when one person's domain is going to be extracted and moved to another person's domain. Good. So, but what he suggests now in terms of making any kind of differentiation is the following. When you have a svara that he describes now as being not the most obvious as far as, or I'll say it a little bit differently. I mean, you'll see his wording in just a moment. A svara that is not really going to be anchored into a dinda araisa, shenemar shuhu dvar Torah rak derabbanan. The tikun ze machmas asvara. Meaning that if I have a svara, but it's not anchored in a dinda araisa, so under those circumstances, we're not going to say that the svara operates on a daraisa level, but rather we're going to say it operates on a darabana level. So he goes on to write, skip to the next underline. This idea that you can't benefit from the world without making a bracha, meaning where's the anchor to that in the Torah? Like, where do we see roots of that in the Torah? That you can't benefit in this world without a bracha. Like, you're not going to find any pasuk that speaks to this idea. You see, as opposed to the example that I gave regarding Malacha Shabbos, the Beis Ephraim gave regarding Malacha Shabbos. So we already have the baseline of, well, I can't take something from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. Now, the logical extension of that, and when we go through a logical extension, so that's going to be a svara, but anchored in a dinda araisa. But when you have a svara anchored in dinda araisa, so the svara is able now to build on that and bring us now to the Oraisa conclusion. But if I have a svar that stands by itself, not really anchored in a din d'oraisa, so that's the kind of svar which is chachamim. Svar is chachamim rule. The yosin here lani esaiti demakum sheikar adavar mavur b'tara ela sheipol safik bingen as yesh leilech achar svar mid d'oraisa. Good. And if I have a doubt, but at least it's rooted in something that's in the Torah, so by a suffix we'll go min haTorah. Vechein b'hach dehachnas dechazina d'haTorah asmer shusur shus b'otzah. And as we already pointed out, once we already know Hotza'ah, Hachnasa will just be a logical extension. How do we know that our Svara is the best of Svara? Maybe there's a reason to make any kind of distinction. Okay, we may not be 100% sure, but at least we're rooted on Adinda Araisa, and the Svara is able to extend. So skipping to the next series of parentheses, V'lachen k'shehichziku hachamim masvara zu shenikra midivrei sofrim, but if I have a svar that brings us to the conclusion, let's say the chachamim say you have to light near Chanukah. Okay, good. The miracle happened. We have to remember the miracle. So now the chachamim said, look, it's logical now that we should remember the miracle. Now, is this rooted in Din D'oraisa? It's not rooted in Din D'oraisa. Meaning, it's a standalone argument made by the Chachamim. That's Divrei Sofrim. That's the Rabbanan. So, basically, his point of differentiation is that if I have a starting point of something being a Din D'oraisa, and then the Svar is able to extend it, that would be a Din D'oraisa. If I have a Svara that is just a standalone Svara, but is not rooted in a Din D'oraisa, so that would be a Din D'Rabbanan. And going back to the Pnei Yeshua, obviously he would take issue with how far the Pnei Yeshua is going. Meaning the idea that Svara operates on a D'oraisa level like the Pnei Yeshua says, the base of Prime, that says is absolutely correct. There is Svaras that extend Dine D'oraisa and have the same full effect of a Din D'oraisa. But when the Svara is not based on a Din D'oraisa, anchored by a Din D'oraisa, but just simply stands by itself, like our discussion of, one is not allowed to benefit from this world without making a bracha first, there's no anchoring to the Din D'oraisa. No pasuk in the Torah supports that. That's a svara. That's a logical argument. But a svara, however, that is built on the Chachamim. That's not a Din D'oraisa. So just interesting in terms of where we go and where are the limits of svara. So again, let's just quickly recap. So the Gemara concludes that the making of Bracha Rishona is not based on any pasukim. It's not based on any drasha. The Gemara concludes that it's a svara. And Tosfos points out at the end of the sugya that we thought that we could bank it on a drasha, but the Gemara says, but they really, the truth of the matter is they were just a smach de ba'alma. Simplest reading of the Gemara's conclusion, which is the conventional thinking of Rishonim, is that the bracha Rishon is a din d'rabbanan and not a din d'oraisa. A really exciting comment made by the Pnei Yeshua, and he says that the bracha Rishon is in fact a din d'oraisa. Why? Because it's svar and svar operates on a din d'oraisa. We see throughout Shas that Svar operates on a Din D'oraisa, so too the Bracha Rishon is a Din D'oraisa as well. He tries to synthesize that with the fact that, of course, he's going to agree, Safik D'Rabban L'Kula. Okay, the synthesis is a little bit difficult, but he tries to synthesize that with that. And then the Beis Ephraim has an extensive discussion on this topic of Svara. When is it a D'oraisa? When is it a D'Rabbanan? In summary, he basically says that if it's something where the Torah already gives us a window into the Svara, and we're just extending that svara, that's a svara that works to operate on a d'oraisa level. If, however, there is no anchor d'oraisa of it, and the chachamim put a svara together, that's a din d'rabbanan. Brachos would be a din d'rabbanan. Chanukah is a din d'rabbanan. So those are dinei d'rabbanan. They're not anchored in d'oraisa. Something like hachnasa on Shabbos, which is an extension of otzah, that's a svara that operates on a d'oraisa level because it's anchored in the din d'oraisa.